From Houston, Texas, this is Clear to Close with Angela and Ivan.
Welcome back to the fall edition of the Clear to Close podcast with your host, Angela Benevich.
Hey, this is Ivan Benevich with Thrive Mortgage.
Also known as?
What?
Mr. Benevich. Oh.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's a secret between us, or one of those things that we call each other. I call him Mr. Benevich. On my cell phone, it says Mr. Benevich.
I
almost massacred
blast.
Our last name. We're really excited to be back. It's been a few months now. I believe it's been like four. Well, last podcast we had was in May or June. So we kind of took like the summer off like everybody else. And we focused on originations at work, just being pretty busy, getting ready for the fall with the kids and all that homeschooling and virtual learning. And now they're back in school. So now we're back to normal so we can breathe again and we can talk about some of our favorite topics like having new real estate friends. So we'd like to introduce you to our new real estate friend, Robert Udo.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
So thanks for coming on to our podcast. I guess we usually start off by just introducing, our guest on our podcast and giving you like 30 seconds to tell us who you are, who you work for, what your AKA is, all of that good stuff.
As if all those things could fit into 30 seconds, no pressure or anything, but take your time. There won't be a time limit on you. Please feel free to elaborate.
30 seconds, Robert.
And are we back to normal with all the COVID stuff?
I wouldn't say back. Well, it's a new normal. Yeah. It's not the old normal. It's a new normal. Of course, we have to take precautions and, it's different on the drive up here and the walk into the studio because we just have to be mindful of washing, sanitizing our hands, putting on our masks. So that's different. But, so this is a new normal.
At least we don't have to wear masks while we're here in the studio. So that's always a positive.
Well, while we're amongst each other. And we're also 6 feet apart for those of you just listening. So,
ish.
Yes,
that's okay.
Pretty much. So, well, let's hand it over to Robert so he can let us know who he is and who you work for. Or
what you're about, man.
Yeah, all of that good info.
Oh, my full name is Kufre Robert Udo. It's a Nigerian name. It's an African name. Robert actually happens to be my middle name. Oh. I use my middle name because it's easier. Kufre is my first name. Kufre is an African name. It's from the south side of the country. The language is Efik. And it means don't forget. The full name is Kufre Abasi, but it means don't forget. Don't forget God is the meaning of my first name.
Nice.
Awesome.
Robert's my middle name and Udo, U-D-O-H, is my last name. Uh-huh. I'm with RE/MAX Universal. I've been in real estate. This upcoming March will be my 11th year in real estate.
Right.
Congrats.
On. Yeah.
I love serving people. The motto for my firm or how I work is relationships above remuneration. Remuneration.
Remuneration.
I keep on mixing up that M and the N.
Happens to me all the time.
And I love serving people. I love serving people. I love serving people in real estate. There's something that's just so special about a person's home. Mm-hmm. And I just love to help people market and sell their homes. And I love helping first time buyers get their homes.
That's
awesome. And so your email address is
End Time Servant.
And I think I remembered your email address from the first time you emailed me just because it says End Time Servant. And so endtimeservant@yahoo.com. So
that's exactly
that's your
right.
email address. So
that's a pretty bold address, End Time Servant.
Well, look at his first name. His first name,
Don't forget God, End Time Servant. Like,
yeah, don't forget God.
I'd love to hear the story behind the address.
Yes.
Surely you have a story.
Before we get into that, though, I want to ask you, what part of Nigeria are you from? What city or town?
It's the south side of the country. It's called Cross River State. Then they split. Now it's Akwa Ibom State, that part of the country. So basically the south side of the country.
Okay. So I have some friends that are from Lagos.
Okay.
So, and my priest is from Lagos too, or close by. If he's listening, he's like, no, I'm not, Angela. I'm from the, yeah. Get it right.
Close.
He's also my friend. So, okay. So then tell us about End Time Servant. What made you
End Time Servant is from my faith. I'm a Christian. And when you look in the world, before I got into real estate, I had that email address.
Oh, so it's a long,
yes,
long-lasting
email. It's long-lasting, yeah, because when I first got in real estate, it felt too long every time I'm using it.
Yeah.
But it does have an impact. Lots of times fellow believers see and identify it and they can relate.
Absolutely.
And so I like, in my faith, in the Christian faith, the servant is the one who is in the exalted position. As opposed to in the world, it's mm-hmm. it's flip flop. The disciples asked Jesus, they wanted to be who they wanted. They were jostling for position. And Jesus said, the one who wants to be the most among you is the one who is ready to be the greatest servant. So I love to serve people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're kind of like in the last days in the sense that the scriptures say in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. There's the coldness of love. So I just, I use that to remind myself also of the time we're in.
I think that's awesome. And like I said, it stuck out when I saw it. I thought that's so bold to be able to express yourself like that, especially in business, because, absolutely. You know, it can be taboo to be, you know, a Christian or whatever. I love that's how you manage your business, because that's your business, and that's how you manage your business, and you should have every right to manage it however you want to and grow it and market it. So
yeah,
it's a conversation starter.
Look, we've spent the last 5 minutes talking about it,
but so strange that it might be taboo in the world of political correctness that you should have control to market yourself and, you know, portray yourself and tell people what you're about. I don't know. It's just
in whatever manner you want to, just like we have that right to do that as well with our own business.
And you know what I found out? I found out that it's not taboo. The fact that it's taboo is just an illusion. People actually want to do business with somebody that has very high standards.
Mm-hmm.
Because like if I'm working for you to manage your house and sell your home, if you know that I believe that my every step is being watched by a God whom I believe in, that's better. That's the best monitor out there. Not Trek, not anything of that nature. I have not seen somebody not want to do business with me because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an illusion. They actually want to do business with me because of the fact that I believe in my faith.
That's awesome.
That's
brother.
Awesome. It's a good testimony as well, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's how we started working together, because we had one deal. It was the lot, the land. My customer was buying the land and building a house on it. He actually finished the house about a month ago. It turned out beautiful. I'm gonna have to show you the pictures. But we had, it was a great transaction. I mean, everything just went through pretty well. And, you know, sometimes the construction financing deals aren't always the easiest or the prettiest, but it actually, you know, when things are meant to be, they just kind of fall in place. And we had a good experience together.
Oh, yes. That was a niche. And after when I discovered, because not so many lenders have mastered that niche the way you have, Angela, I was so impressed because I was on the seller's side. And your client, you got him the loan for the land and you got him the construction loan and you gave me insights that I'd never heard about.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And so when I listed a plot of land for sale, I definitely called you. You went, and then your personality too. You went into my, relationships. Now, this is a relationship that I want to grow.
Yeah, I kind of said the same thing, too.
I mean, sometimes when you meet somebody, you just know we're going to be friends for a long while.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you've actually been in real estate, you said 11 years. So that puts you around 2009, about a year after the whole world tanked.
You just said, oh, I want to be time. A realtor.
Right. So how did you get into real estate? I'm going to hop on again to Angela's next question. How did you find yourself in real estate in the beginning?
Okay. Well, the way I got into real estate, I was in the car business. I was a car salesperson. I was pretty good at it. And lots of times we think we're making plans for ourselves, but we're not.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is directing our steps. And I hadn't made it in the car business to the point where I could look at myself and say, I've made it. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to make it to just show my father that I'd made it. That's another story in and of itself.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I could sell cars. I could definitely sell real estate.
Because why not? It's the same thing, right? Yeah. Big asset.
It's exactly. And then I'll get more money. But I was so humbled within a short period of time. It was such a learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. The book of James says, count with joy when you face trials of any kind. So even though I didn't really quite count it with joy at that point in time, it was a wonderful learning experience for me. And now I have more freedom than I ever had in the car business to pursue the dreams. But that's how I got into it. I felt since I wasn't making it in the car business, I will make it in real estate. That's how I got into it. But ultimately, it's like I was guided into it.
Right. So one thing leads to another and puts you just where you're supposed to be.
And where you're supposed to be. So you were supposed to be here today meeting with us and telling us all about everything you're doing in your own ministry. And I say ministry because you do have your own podcast, right? Or your own,
yes.
Your own, I wouldn't say show, it's a podcast, but he also has videos and it's, do you want to tell us the name of your podcast?
Yes, it's a video podcast on YouTube.
Video podcast.
Yes, it's called A View from the Pew.
A View from the Pew.
Right on.
I saw your first video and I was like, you're incredible. That was awesome. The first one you did.
Okay.
You're like, you know, you talked for about 10 minutes. I'm like, how did she like not like mess up any of your words? And he was like, did you say that you had your screen up or something?
Yes, that's correct.
I thought it was all natural.
You're telling like, all his secrets.
You're awesome.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate it. No, I don't hide it. Because when you talk about something as important as that, for me, when I'm talking, you're handling the word of God. The book of James says, not many of you should presume to be teachers because you who teach will be under a stricter judgment. And for every idle word will be accountable. In a situation like that, I definitely want to write
convey
my
right
words
message.
Out. Exactly.
Yeah.
Meditate upon my words before I put it out there. Because after you put it out there,
it's out there.
You can't take it back.
Yeah. You can't unring that bell.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know. And that's, you know, when you had me on your video podcast a couple of weeks ago, I mean, the first thing I did was pray because I wanted to be able to convey my own message with my own words because I knew my words were going to be heard by many people. And I just wanted to be able to feel what the writer felt. And
right.
I did. And
you
it
sure
got
did.
Hard at the end. Like I had to just not even look at you guys. I had to just focus because I was probably on the brink of crying and I didn't want, I was just so touched by it. I mean, there was a lot of emotion in what she wrote.
Yeah. You told her story very, very well, I think.
She cried every time she cried several times when I showed her how you shared her story. She was just bawling. She watched it several times.
Yeah, it was definitely an honor to be able to share her story with the world and on such a topic that's so personal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's such a personal thing. I mean, divorce is such a personal thing. You don't want to necessarily share it with the world and say, okay, well, this is what happened, but and this is the reason why it happened, and especially when something it's parasitic as what we talked about, you know.
True.
Right. So when is that video podcast going to be out so anyone listening to ours can check it out?
I sent it to the editor. That particular one is coming out. It should be at the end of this week. He hasn't given me the schedule back, but at the end of this week. So
before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving. Well said. Thank you, brother.
Well, you know, someone hears our podcast, and if it's after
Thanksgiving,
they're going to be like, hey, wait a minute.
2020.
They don't record this live. They record it and put it out later.
Actually, I think we're going to be airing this right on Thanksgiving because what better thing to do than to listen to a podcast right after you eat that big Thanksgiving lunch or dinner, right?
Because you won't be able to move to do anything else, right?
So if anybody's listening on Thanksgiving Day, there's another podcast that we'd like you to check out, and that is with Robert Udo, and it's The View from the Pew.
A View from the Pew on YouTube.
The Pew. That's kind of a tongue twister. Can we say that three times really fast? A View from the Pew. I can't. See, I messed up the first time around.
Right on.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, you've been in real estate for 11 years, but now you've expanded upon this other ministry that you have. And we say I say other because real estate is kind of like ministry too, especially when you're meeting different people and ministering to different people. What else do you see foreseeable in the future of what you want to do with your plans with real estate or, you know, your ministry?
Well, I just want to tell this story. I want to capture stories. I love stories. Mm-hmm. I want when I meet people, I want to hear their story, but I also want to tell their story. And that's why I love video equipment. That's why I'm just passionate about mm-hmm. telling stories. If you look at my life, it was changed by the story that was told. The greatest story ever.
Right.
The apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of mm-hmm. those are stories. They're relaying events that happened that they witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't use the medium of writing the stories down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
We use the medium of video cameras. And so I'm intrigued. I like to just hear a good story well told,
mm-hmm.
and I like to be able to capture that story and tell people's story.
Mm-hmm.
And even in real estate, the same thing is happening in real estate. So the area of real estate I focus on are listing homes. Now, what mm-hmm. happens when, let's say, I say, Angela, Ivan, I want to list your home for sale.
Mm-hmm.
The people who take the pictures of your home, all they know to do is create beautiful pictures of your home, mm-hmm. but they don't have real estate information.
Mm-hmm.
And then the realtors,
mm-hmm.
they know how to, they have real estate information, but they don't have video making mm-hmm. information. So there's a niche there. So I want to bridge that gap and be able to tell, as opposed to when you look at this beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood, you don't want to just hear music and see pictures. You want some substantive information about the neighborhood, and that's where the bridge will come in. That's what I see.
You know, I like that you talk about telling the story of that, because for us, it's actually a similar situation. You know, if we have a client that might be, well, let's say just a little bit close to the borderline of qualifying, you have to create that story to give to the underwriter to approve that file. She wants to approve the file. And as a matter of fact, the notes that we use to submit with the file, we call it a storyboard, the same as in video and movie production when they have, you know, the shots of what the scene is supposed to look like. They have a storyboard. That's actually what we call it. So I think you're right on point with that idea of telling the story. Absolutely.
There's just something about a story.
Everybody loves a good story.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when you represent somebody and you tell their story, I mean, I saw that through the pictures that you posted on Facebook with, you know, you take a long post. Well, you take a post and you make it long, right? And you explain what that transaction meant to you. And it's not just a transaction. It's like you've also made friends.
True.
You've also made family. So it's an extension of what you do every day, you know, as a realtor, but also as a person of faith, you know?
Thank you.
So it's amazing. I love what you're doing with your work. And I think that you, between Ivan and I, you have some big supporters and we're backing you up and we're so excited to see what you're able to produce for the future.
Well, I'm Absolutely. Very grateful. Yes, I'm excited.
All right. So let's talk about Robert.
Okay.
Aside from real estate, aside from ministry, tell us about you. What do you do for fun? What does Robert do for fun? Because we talked about going on a bike ride together, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, I like movies. Movies are one of my fun things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I get into a movie and I just go into the movie. And in movies, they tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have
I think your new name's the story guy.
You call
You're
me a storyteller. So, yeah. So I like movies. That's one of the things that my pastime. For instance, my favorite movie, one of them is like Gladiator. And my friends are like, how do you know the words of the movie? So there's a scene in Gladiator where the king tells the gladiator, he says, slave, you will turn around and you will tell me your name. He said, my name is Gladiator. What? Don't turn your back on me. Tell me your name. And he says, I'm Maximus Decimus Aurelius, commander of the armies of the north, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son. And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Wow. And
I just stopped the video. Stopped the movie there, rewind and stop and rewind.
And then you learn your life.
It's beautiful. And there's something about a name.
Yeah.
See, like now you're asking, who are you? There's something that's embodied in your name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was telling his name. And that's That's if you look in our future to come, mm-hmm. they say he'll give us a name. When Adam was given dominion over the whole mm-hmm. world, over the animals, he gave them a name.
Yeah.
So Kufre Robert Udo, I'm just a one who loves the Lord and loves people. I'm a servant and I'm a storyteller.
I love it, man. You have to tell us the story. Do you happen to have one just that comes to mind in your years of real estate? Maybe just something that happened with the transaction or a family or one that just
really right touched there. Your heart. Really one that you walked away and you said, I did a good thing.
Oh, there's so many of them.
Your favorite one. Pick your most recent one.
Oh, let me see. If I pick a recent one, I'm trying to think because I'm going a little blank.
What about the one you had, you just posted on Facebook a couple of weeks ago? I think you listed their home
That was a beautiful one.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one that I was mentioning earlier that I thought, man, you're a man of words. Like you just, you know, what you convey and what you present, it's so wonderful. And to be able to tell a story like that, you know, it's just not a transaction to you.
No.
It's more than a transaction.
So what I try and do, I'll tell the story of that one. What I always try and do is I try and thank the client and give them the honor that's due them. Because a lot of times in the world, we don't get the honor that's due us. Mm-hmm. So if you look at any one of those emails, when I say that I'm thanking the client and talking about something that was distinct in our relationship, what makes me appreciate them? Like if I say, Angela, thank you, or Ivan, thank you. You always want to tell somebody what you're thanking them for. Okay. So in my story, mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. My church is predominantly Caucasian. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when I felt that the Lord was calling me to that church, what I thought I was going to experience, like if you look at the world out there, if you look yes. at the news, mm-hmm. I thought that I would experience persecution based on the fact that I'm Black. Mm-hmm. But what I found out was the total opposite. I actually got to know who the church is. Mm-hmm. You would find people love you for no reason except the fact that you love Jesus. There's a story that's told, Jesus, your mother and your brother at the door. And he says, who are my mother and brother, but those who do the will of my father. And now it's not a question of, hey, Robert, we love you at a distance. No. When you start to back it up with money. So these folks, they will come up to me and just say, Robert, come sell our house. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that we have a uniform belief. I'm like, wait, let me tell you a presentation about how wonderful a salesperson I am.
Right. You know, hold I'm going to do let an me, open house.
Let me do
I'm
this. I'm do... gonna... No.
Yeah. You're like, let me get want... can grab my
oh,
bag.
Oh, no. Yeah. Come and look at all my reviews. No.
Give me my pony show. I have it right here. Can I please
exactly.
share it with you?
Please? Dog and pony show.
And so, and these are not small. These are transactions. When you look at them, you know that not only would any realtor mm-hmm. want this business. Uh-huh. It's not like they're in a difficult situation because I love difficult situations. As a matter of fact, where I'm going to move my whole marketing for the year to come is to go after expired homes, homes that could not be sold, so I can tell the story and help them get sold. But these are folks that people will want their homes mm-hmm. and they could go to anyone. And they're not coming up to me and saying, oh, cut this or do this, or we want this in return from you. No, they're doing it just simply for the fact that they love you. Mm-hmm. So the combined total of that was well over $1 million where I sold their home and helped them buy another home.
Wow.
And it's just simply for the fact that we're in church together.
Mm-hmm. And also that you're pretty good at what you do. I mean, let's not try to dismiss that.
Right.
Well, thank you. They do tell me that I'm good at what I do. And so thank you.
Well, I think it's a great testament, you know, to what it is. I mean, that's the proof in the pudding right there. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't have the opportunities and the interactions with people and them wanting to give you business unless you were that good. So good job, man.
I mean, you know, definitely that as a believer that God puts certain people into your life. We were just talking about that earlier before we started our podcast. I have a friend that's buying her new house with me and is supposed to be closing this Friday, and handled her other transactions. And when we met, I was a stranger to her. And now she's one of my best friends, you know, and it's been 6 years, 6.5 years of a good relationship. And, amen. You know, I was just met with her today, and it's just amazing to see how everything works out. Right. Not only did I earn some business, but I also earned a friend in the process, and somebody that's, you know, like family to me. So I understand, like, it's such a wonderful thing whenever you bring faith into
those kind of people to me.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yes, because you're not just professing it. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith in the earth? Meaning it's a rarity. Mm-hmm. Lots of times you see people profess faith, but they're not of faith. But I've seen all the evidence that you are. You've backed it up. Like when I was to come for this podcast, I called you on the very day. Mm-hmm. And just how graciously you received me to when I counseled that day on the day itself.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Angela, I think I'm feeling a little dizzy, but... And I really wanted to come. You're like, no. And you were only thinking of me. Or on this show when you said, okay, Robert, I want to invite you on the show to talk. Mm-hmm. I said, please understand that when I talk about my faith. You said, that's fine. That's why we want you.
Yeah.
So that's, you're the real deal.
Well, you know, for me, you're the real deal, because when we spend time with you and we, you know, we've gone to your studio and Angela's, you know, been on your video podcast and just being together. Me being such an imperfect person that I am, you sharing your faith with us, though we are believers, but when you share your faith with us, it makes me look inside and want to be a better Christian and want to, what was the saying about, I wish I could be the person that my pet thinks I am, something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Not that you're, but you, I get that same vibe when you share with us and you speak words to us. And sometimes, as you know, God works through people. You say things and you share things with us that likely we needed to hear. And so it causes me to think, and especially think before I open my mouth. Right, hon? Right? So I super appreciate you being the real deal. Because makes, you know, you're spreading that idea of, you know, kind of like paying it forward. You want to, you know, I want to be a better person. So
that's what the book says. That's iron sharpens iron. That's what the book says.
Oh, yeah.
Iron sharpens iron. Paul, when he was in prison and he started preaching the gospel, he says it emboldened others to preach the gospel. See, the gospel is called the good news. Mm-hmm. So what the world would want to do is suppress the news. It's the only news that it's redemption for mankind. Mm-hmm. If you look at the media, if you look at anything that's divisive, you want to push out a lot of negative. Yeah. And information informs conduct. Mm-hmm. So the very first news and the greatest news given to mankind was the gospel. That's why it's called the good news. And what do you do with news? You spread the news.
Right.
Here we are spreading the news.
That's fantastic. And in time for Thanksgiving.
And in time for Thanksgiving. Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
In a time where there's a lot that you could focus on that maybe is not so positive and maybe get down about or, you know, discouraged, but to focus on the positive, and there are a lot of good things happening, you know, and it goes down to even, you know, we could be thankful that we have roads to drive on and bombs aren't going off over our head, right?
Well, I think about my grandparents, and I think about everything they lived through in the 19th century, right? They had a war, World War I, happening. They had the Spanish flu. They had the Great Depression. They had World War II. They had the Vietnam War. I mean, there's so many things, you know, that my grandparents lived through, and they made it out just fine.
Oh, in the 1900s. So, yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yes, there was a lot. So, I mean, for us, you know, we as, you know, people have not ever experienced something like what we're experiencing now. I know I haven't. I remember being young and just different things happening, the Cuban Missile Crisis that everybody was scared of. And, you know, I think the scariest thing for me when I was 9 years old is thinking about a nuclear bomb, you know, things like that, that, you know, the media sometimes wants to scare you with, right? And I think about, like, the strength that my grandparents had and everybody else's grandparents that have passed and how they got through that. How did they get through all of that within just one century, right? How did they do that? And I think it was because back then they held on to their beliefs as, you know, Christians or, you know, and this isn't just only geared towards Christians, it's geared towards everybody. Even if you're a non-believer, you know, there was something back then that helped them through that process, helped them through those times. Right. So we've got to do the same thing. We've got to focus. We've got to focus on what we can control. Mm-hmm. And that's our own health, our own mental health, our family situation, being kind to others. You know, I tell my kids, you know, now that they're going back to school and they have to socially interact again, and they've kind of been shelled for the last 4 or 5 months. It's like, hey, you guys got to get out there. You got to be kind to others. You know, if you're feeling anxious or whatever, because they've really been at home for 4 or 5 months and it was hard for them to get back, you know, reacclimated with being back in school. So one kid comes and tells me, this person's being mean to me. Well, why do you think they might be being mean to you? And how did you react? Well, I got mad back. You should show them kindness. Right. Show them kindness and see how they react to you. They won't even know how to react. They'll be like, why is this person being nice to me after I just, you know, threw some mulch at them or whatever.
That's why they say you kill people with kindness.
Yeah.
Because a kind word turns away wrath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure you know where that's from. I just happen to know the words, don't know the book, but it's so true.
And we live in a very peculiar time right now with everything going on. So, I mean, kindness is free, right?
It is.
That's the word. That's the magic word for Thanksgiving. Be kind to one another. Love one another.
That's a good word.
Yes.
That's a good word.
Okay, I'll get off my soap.
That's the good news.
I'm trying to spread today, which should be aired on Thanksgiving. So just letting everybody know, be kind.
Well, there's
nothing wrong with being kind.
Doesn't cost anything.
It's free, y'all. Yeah. As they say in Texas, y'all.
And all y'all is plural for y'all. Did you know that?
All y'all. Yes, exactly.
That's good.
What's a fun fact about Robert?
Well, yeah. Did we get to the fun fact?
I don't know if we did fun fact.
I think that's a fun fact. I mean, you do video podcast and you love movies. You know the words to movies. What's another movie that you can remember where you just love, you have an epic movie line you just have to tell
us? The one that because in my real life I'm so nonviolent, but there's a conflict. The Christian fights a different conflict. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. Mm-hmm. So you wrestle with, and you cast down thoughts and imagination and everything that exalts itself up against the name of God. So I love conflict. So I always do the one when I talk to my friends and I want to do how tough I am. You know, we're talking tough.
Yeah.
I like to do tough talk. So this is a line I saw in a movie. I'm going to say it to Ivan. Brother, you want to test me, Ivan? You're about to find out where you stop and I begin.
What movie was that?
It was Desperate Measures.
Desperate Measures.
And the guy says to the crook says to the cop, because what makes a good movie is a good villain.
Mm-hmm.
You get a good villain, like the devil. He's a good villain.
Yeah.
And it's all to bring God glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bad guy says to the cop, the cop's name is Frank. He said, you want to test me, Frank? You want to find out where you stop and I begin? And every time I say it to my friends, they just bust out laughing because I'm the most
I love it
opposite of violent,
right?
And so you say it when it comes up, I say, you and I say to the ladies on the receptionist at the office, don't test me. You want to find out where you stop and I begin?
Oh my God.
So yeah, I like movies.
That
I
love is it. Hilarious. Babe, do you want to share a movie line? Did I just call you?
No.
Called him Babe.
That's
podcast.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I probably
really
I just can't
really?
Think of anything
Mr.
on the spot.
Movie line guy?
Yeah, but you know.
Okay.
I just can't think
those
of anything.
Are probably ones you can't say on the air, right?
Well,
you can't
you know.
Say in the podcast.
You know, Robbie,
how about
you mentioned
the Scarface one about where you said, Tony, I am
hey,
the
Tony.
Boss.
I am the boss.
Okay. That's what I say every day. I go, hey, Ivan, I am the boss. Every day.
Yeah, that's right.
I am the boss.
You mentioned about how the devil makes a good villain, and that actually leads into one of my little fun questions is, what superhero did you want to be when you grew up? Did you have a favorite superhero?
No, I didn't necessarily have a favorite superhero. You have to realize I grew up in Africa. So my narrative is kind of different.
All right.
So like your narrative, that involves a lot of TV watching and things of that nature. Like where I lived, my dad is a professor in a university, or he was a lecturer at that time. And so they had where we lived, where the lecturers, the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So like on one block, one person can have a VCR.
Did you read a lot?
So you went to everybody's house that had a VCR. Everybody crowded around.
No, what happened in order for the ones that watch, it was storytelling. That's part of where the storytelling comes.
Oh.
Like the rich ones when they come, because we grew up in the dormitory and they could tell stories. Like there was one that could tell a story. So like we'll all gather.
Uh-huh.
So he'd watch movies during the, when you went back to school. So he'd watch movies. And so he would tell the story. And he would tell this story so well. You got your imagination. Like even up to today, I remember the story of the movie El Cid. And it's a very, very long ago. It's before. Your parents might know it, but El Cid with Charleston Heston.
Yeah, I think my folks watched it.
Yeah.
Okay. El Cid.
He was the Rodrigo Diaz of Bivar. And I could remember that's who he, that was his title.
Yeah.
And so that's, so not with heroes like that in terms of like Marvel comics.
Maybe literary.
Exactly.
Class literary stories. Figures.
Stories, phrases.
Yeah.
Thought processes, mindsets.
We just call you El Cid, mate.
El Cid.
No, I'm still fine with me.
That is awesome. And everything that we've talked about kind of like circles around back to what you believe in. That's super awesome.
Yes.
I love hearing the story. I love hearing from where it started and the dream and everything. And sometimes we get lost along the way.
We do.
Then we find out who we are. You know, I think we all go through that. We all have our own story to tell. You're pretty brave for sharing yours on Facebook, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
I have a big story, you know, but it's a lot to tell. I'd have to be pretty brave to share it with Facebook. But yeah, maybe one day I will. Maybe you've inspired me to share my own story one day.
Oh, you have a good story.
Mm-hmm.
What I was talking about, filming, I want to capture people's story on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Really just tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's what A View from the Pew is about. It's ordinary people that the world looks on as ordinary, but you're superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says when you transition into the next life, there's a great cloud of witnesses waiting on you. Jesus said he's coming and he's coming with his reward. So there's a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine hearing the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
From the creator of the universe, the one that
that's
spoke
what we
the words
strive for.
Into, exactly.
That's what we strive for.
So that's words.
Yeah.
So that's the story. So many ordinary looking people are superstars. And I want to capture their stardom. Like on podcast, you bring stars. Oh, thank you for bringing me on.
Oh, you're a star. That's why you're here on our podcast, you know?
But you capture stars, and the stars to me are people like you.
Oh, thank you.
That's so nice and kind.
That is so nice. And I'm glad that we're really happy that you came to our podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And to take your advice, when you say that you thank somebody, you have to thank them for something. So we'd like to thank you for just being Robert, man. Just for being yourself and sharing your conviction and your faith and just being real, man. It's just, you're a light. You really are. So thank you for that.
You just blessed me. That's big Bible there, brother. Because that's what the scripture says. It says you're the light of the world. So thank you.
It's nice when you meet people that you can connect with and that share the same light or share the same faith. And you're like, hey,
you're
my brother.
That's exactly right.
Yes, I'm your sister. Yes,
that's
nice to meet you. And it's so you just click.
That's right.
So we're going to do a lot of great things together. It's just the first time that you're coming on. You're going to come on again. We're going to talk about what's happened with your video podcast, hopefully in early winter. And, you know, hopefully everybody has a great Thanksgiving and we can get through Christmas successfully and everybody just spends time with each other and then touch base again, right? In the beginning of the year, talk about how it's affected your business, how it's impacted your business, how it's enriched your business, right?
True.
So I think that we've gotten a lot of good information today.
Absolutely. This is a great way to come back to the fall and to I guess re-kick this podcast off, but it's been fantastic.
How can people get a hold of you? I know we talked about the email address
ntimeservant@yahoo.com.
Okay. And do you have a cell number? Do you have a website address? Can we find you on Facebook?
You can find me on Facebook. It's Robert Udo, UDOH. My cell number is 713-305-8007. My specialty is marketing houses. So if you have a house that's been hard to sell or you're concerned that it will be hard to sell, that's my greatest specialty.
Really? And you know that that's one of my greatest specialties too as a lender. right?
I didn't know that. I knew the construction part.
I started out doing renovation loans as the first loan I ever did as an originator.
Okay.
And so I did that for quite some time, 203K, FHA 203K.
Yes, I know. That's a niche.
Style renovation loans.
Okay.
And I did that for about 6-7 years until I ventured out and I left where I was working and started working and originating all types of loans, but it's always followed me. So, something that I've kind of not honed into in the last couple of years, just because I did it for so long, I just wanted to do something else. And my focus at my previous company was renovation. So now I'm doing everything, right? Doing construction loans, doing regular loans. I'm just focusing on that, but I really want to get back into renovation lending again for 2021 is one of my focal points in my business, just because I know how to do these loans.
Right, that's
I've done them for a long time. And so they just come a second nature to me. So that's funny that you say that. That's
I'm excited
your,
about yes. that because I know I'm going to need some of those for a lot of these homes that could not sell. It just might be.
You can structure them the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
Where people can get the financing they need to buy them as is and transform them into their dream home.
Exactly.
So. Or transform them and sell them.
Or transform them and sell them. Correct. Yes. Or keep them as inventory homes or whatever. Yes. We're thinking out. We're already business planning right now.
Planning sure session. Planning session to follow.
2021.
To follow the podcast.
Yes. But I think that's going to be it. I mean, we've done some good, gone over some good topics. We've dug in deep and we've found out what your favorite pastimes are. Watching movies. I love movies too, by the way.
Action movies.
Yeah.
Real life stories, you know, I don't really watch. I'm like, I have enough of real life. I didn't come here to watch enough real life. I mean, that's just me for the movies.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe this episode is clear to close, right?
Yep.
So in the meantime, keep on thriving.
With Angela and Ivan.
Bye.
From Houston, Texas, this is Clear to Close with Angela and Ivan.